Deirdre suddenly felt as if she were standing in space. The lights went out automatically when the hatch shut, and there was nothing between her and the infinite universe but the transparent, curving bubble of glass steel. Her knees went weak. So many stars. The universe was filled with hard, unblinking points of light. Red, blue, yellow. It was overwhelming. Clouds of stars, swirls of stars, endless, boundless, teeming stars that sprinkled the blackness of space with color and beauty. Dorn heard her gasping breath.
Are you all right?
Deirdre had to consciously remind herself that she was perfectly safe, standing on a glass-steel deck, warm and protected from the vacuum out there that stretched to infinity. I think so, she half-whispered.
I'm sorry, Dorn said softly. I forgot how overwhelming it can be the first time. I've spent much of my life in spacecraft. This dark forever is like home to me.
She turned toward him, saw the starlight glinting off the etched metal side of his face.
The sun is behind us,
Dorn began to explain.
On the other side of the ship. We're in shadow here. That's why you can see so much without the sun's glare cutting down visibility.
It's the most awesome thing I've ever seen.
The universe, Dorn said, as solemnly as if praying. Infinity.
For several minutes, Dorn pointed out the brighter stars for her. Identified blue-hot Rigel and the sullen red of Betelgeuse. At last, she interrupted him. You said we could talk in private here.
Yes, he said, nodding gravely. The blister goes all the way around the ship, but it's divided into compartments that are soundproof.
He hesitated.
I believe the ship's management thought couples might enjoy romantic liaisons here.
Making it under the stars, Deirdre thought. Not a bad idea, once you got accustomed to having all those unblinking eyes watching you.
You asked me when I became a cyborg,
Dorn said. I don't want to pry, said Deirdre, if it's painful for you.
Pain is part of life. If we're going to work together at the Jupiter station, you deserve to know about me.
So he told her. Told her of his life as a mercenary soldier during the asteroid wars. How the corporation he worked for supplied their mercenaries with performance-enhancing drugs. How he had murdered a woman who loved him in a blaze of narcotic-driven jealous fury. How he destroyed the old chrysalis habitat under the battle frenzy that the drugs induced. How he had held a mini-grenade to his chest once his mind cleared and he realized what he had done.
You tried to commit suicide?
Deirdre asked. In the starlit shadows, Dorn replied evenly,
I wasn't permitted to die. The corporations had invested too much in me. And besides, their medical technicians saw me as an interesting problem. So I was saved. I was rebuilt.
That's how you became a cyborg?
Yes. Not every scientist works for the benefit of humankind. Some of them, many of them, I think, work to solve problems that intrigue them, work to achieve things no one else has achieved before them.
Deirdre remembered a quotation from her history classes. The physicist J. Robert Oppenheimer had said, "When you see something that is technically sweet, you go ahead and do it, and you argue about what to do about it only after you have had your technical success." Dorn's transformation.
You became a priest?
Deirdre asked. For a heartbeat,
Doran remained silent. Then, I had a life-altering experience. I encountered an artifact, a work of an alien intelligence.
In the belt?
Deirdre jumped at his revelation. The rumors are true. About an alien artifact in one of the asteroids.
True, said Doran. There is an alien artifact buried inside a small, stony asteroid. The rock is the property of Humphreys Space Systems Incorporated. I was still an employee of HHS when it was discovered. I was assigned to guard the asteroid and make certain that no one saw the alien artifact. But I saw it. Every day. For weeks. It changed me.
It's really true, Deirdre marveled.
Really true. However, Martin Humphreys guards the asteroid jealously. At first, he wanted to keep it for himself alone. When he flew out to see it, though, the artifact drove him insane. He collapsed, gibbering, helpless.
Doran stopped, as if the memories he was recalling were too painful to continue. But before Deirdre could think of anything to say, he resumed.
Humphreys recovered eventually, but he would allow no one to see the artifact, and he wanted to eliminate those who saw his collapse, who heard his weeping, inconsolable pleadings.
He wanted to kill you.
He tried, but I too had seen the artifact. Experiencing it changed my life. I stopped being Doric Harbin, mercenary warrior. I became Dorn, a priest. I began to try to atone for my former life.
Atone? How?
By finding the bodies of the mercenaries killed in the asteroid wars. Finding them and giving them proper death rites.
You did this?
For years. Wandering through the belt, finding the dead who had been left to drift alone endlessly in space. This I did, together with the woman you saw at my trial.
My father exiled you.
Almost smiling in the dim starlight, Doran said,
He wanted to execute me. He wanted to kill me with his own hands. He settled for exile. I was recruited by the scientists of the Jupiter station. They've been testing me at Selene University to see if I can help them make deep dives into the Jovian Ocean.
And here we are, Deirdre said, trying to make it sound light, on our way to Jupiter.
Yes.
You've lived quite a life, she said. It sounded pathetically inane, she knew.
With a slight shake of his head, Doran confessed.
But now I have no purpose for living. I've found all the dead from the wars that I could. That doesn't atone for all those I killed.
You're working for the scientists now?
Yes, for the scientists. But serving their purposes doesn't give me any purpose to my life. I'm an empty shell, Deirdre. I have nothing to live for.
She reached out and touched the human side of his face.
You've gone through so much. You'll find some reason for living. Maybe at Station Gold. Maybe you'll find your true purpose there.
Maybe,
he echoed. It sounded hollow to Deirdre.
Well, she said, thanks for telling me about yourself. I hope you find what you're looking for.
She started for the hatch, but Doran put up his metallic hand, stopping her.
This conversation began, he said, with you saying that I didn't ask what your medical problem is. May I ask you now?
She bit her lip, hesitating. He has a right to know, Deirdre told herself. He's willing to give you his blood to help you. He has a right to know the truth.